Get the best experience of customer service and maintenance of your Rorick Advantage at the Service Center on West Liberty Avenue. Visit RorickHonda.com for all of your vehicle needs and check out our blog posts, which usually are about driving or parking in Pittsburgh. And now, John, we start the You Jag Up podcast.
From the North Shore on Isabella Street at Chalkfest.
According to the Oxford Dictionary, the word jagoff is defined as a noun, which means a stupid, irritating, or...
Here's how Pittsburghers define a word jagoff. When someone cuts you off on a parkway.
Jagoff!
Or someone scares the out of you.
Yeah, jagoff!
Or it's a term of endearment.
How you been, jagoff?
This is Mark Madden.
Hi, this is Larry Richard.
Hey, it's Rick Sivak.
Hi, this is Greg Brown.
Hi, I'm Tyler Kennedy.
This is Antonio Holmes.
And this is the You Jagoff Podcast.
We are at Chalkfest. We have some cool guests coming up because there are all these people that make these crazy designs on the cement.
Well, and it's grown and grown and grown that I did not realize these chalkers go to different places. Like, this is world renowned. It's such a cool thing, and I had no idea. So I love that we get educated. Of course, we've been down to this area before, but we need to be better, you know, in the know as far as the chalking art world. So pretty cool to learn.
What we had on the jagoff.com blog this week is, first of all, we jagged around on Friday with the People's Gas folks. It was a lighthearted, but still serious
informative
video because we watched the People's Gas volunteers go to a local cemetery and clean up the branches, clean up the weeds, cut the grass in time for Memorial Day weekend.
Yeah, and how important it is to volunteer, to be a part of something, and to really keep in mind those who fought for us and in their memory, and that's what Monday's all about.
Yeah. Then we wrote about a bank robbery, jagoff. The guy robbed two banks. And then the two same banks 2 weeks in a row.
Yeah, here.
2 weeks in a row. Like, he escaped from his recovery house or whatever it was and his temporary housing and did the same two banks and then in the same clothes hung out at the local eatery where the cops just found him with a bag of money.
Can I add into this? I don't know why I'm asking you. So many people will like comment like, that's crazy. What a jagoff. Mad emoji. All this stuff. Our friend Donna. Okay, you... Follow me. Donna, who works at Citizens Bank, who we see waiting for the bus outside, she messaged and said, I was one of them.
Oh, no.
I was like, what? And I saw it pop up and I had no idea what it was in reference to because we post so many questions.
Yeah.
Went back and I thought, oh, my gosh. So we actually know somebody. One degree of separation from somebody who was involved in this.
Right.
What a jagoff.
How about that?
And then anyway, earbud was hysterical.
Earbuds,
that was
jagoff because, listen, I get it. Earbuds are destroying the world at this point because people have no sense of where they are.
Communication.
We watched this gentleman walk up to a table full of people. Asked very considerately, may I sit down and have one of the seats? They said yes. And he pulled up a chair, proceeded to sit down, put his earbuds in, and started talking on his phone. Hey, how you doing? Whoa, yo. Just really yelling all around, for disturbing
like John
everybody
just did
at the table.
At the nice, reverent Chalkfest.
Yeah. And Rachel wrote annual I Love You, Larry for EMS Week.
Yeah, go check it out. I've actually been honored with how many people have read it. And basically, it's my salute to EMS. EMS week is ending today, right, John?
It is.
And so today's, you know, it's the last day you can read it. I'm totally kidding. Read it anytime because it's my ode to EMS workers and the importance that they are.
So make sure you listen to them. If you're listening to the podcast for the first time, make sure you download it, subscribe to it. And now we have our first guest. We always save our music guest to the last.
But this guest is getting ready
to go on a big performance here at Chalkfest. So Irie Cole, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah. So let's talk a little bit about you. Tell us a little bit about how long you've been DJing. What's been the biggest gig other than the Ajago podcast is clearly high on your resume at this point.
Very, very, very. This is going on my CV.
There you go. We love it.
I started DJing in 2015. I was trying to do graphic design work, and it wasn't really working. Freelancing wasn't working either, and so I just picked up DJing off of YouTube. And here
Stop
I am now.
It.
Yeah.
So what did that? I mean, for fools like me, what did that look like? You just like any other YouTube video.
Yeah. There's lots of YouTube tutorials on how to DJ, and if you know, there's some good ones, there's some bad ones, but eventually you find the right ones, and you can just ask somebody for a gig, and you might get it.
So this is cool. Wow. We always ask comedians and musicians about their worst gig. Like comedians, they'll go do like kids. kids' birthday parties and try to perform jokes, and then they graduate. What's the sort of the hell gig you've had? Something, you know, as far as you had to take this on, you knew it was going to make you a few bucks, but you knew you were going to kind of never put on your CV.
Yeah, so I...
You don't have to name names.
Okay, I did my very first corporate event.
Okay.
I did it because it was going to pay for a set of speakers that I needed to keep doing other events. So I did it, but I didn't have the library for it quite yet. And so I was playing like really niche-y house music and Kay Trinata and stuff like that when they were looking more for like Miley Cyrus, Aerosmith, people like that. So it was just bad because they didn't really like the music. It didn't move people. It didn't hit.
But, okay.
But I got the money and I have speakers now.
So. I was just going to ask, did we get the speakers?
Yeah.
My question was, and I told you that I went to your website to kind of pull some info to see, you know, what we could chat about beyond. And I saw that you're an open format DJ. What does that mean? What does open format mean?
Yeah, it means open format means that you just play whatever you need to play to get the party moving. So sometimes when you see me, I might be playing disco. Sometimes I might be playing like Bali remixes. Tomorrow I'll be playing hip hop, R&B, trap music. I just love music, and I'll just throw a song out there, see if it's.
So again, you have to read the crowd.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So do you know ahead of time? It's not like the days of old when you went to a fire hall wedding and people were like, "Can you please play Air Supply?" Like, yeah. It's not that.
It's yeah. Depending on the gig, I do like to ask like, "What do the people like?"
Or
"What are you looking for? What's the sound you're looking for?" Because the only set I really can't do at this point is like a country set.
Okay.
I just don't have the library for it.
Yeah. Okay.
Other than that, I can do just about almost anything.
I feel like you could probably YouTube that.
You're right. I could look it up. There's a lot of playlists out there.
I'm intrigued by the science behind it.
Yeah, me too.
You know, like, do you go and visualize the beats or understand the timing of it so you know what's mixing? Do you mix according to writer or music or type of instrument? How do you do that?
It goes twofold.
Okay.
One, I mix for situations. And so let's say you're at a party. You see someone you're really into, you want to talk to them. I want to play the music that accompanies you walking up to that person.
Oh, my God.
And so, and that creates like an emotional connection with the crowd. So, like, maybe I'm playing something for you to rage. Like, in this moment, we're going to jump up and down. We're going to rage. Sometimes, in some moments, it's for you to shake something.
Sure.
And so, like, all right, now. But then in other moments, hey. Go talk to that person you like.
This I love is the it. Music You're like that puppet hypes master. You
up. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
So, wow.
Now, do you That's try to go out and it. Find a leader? You look around, you see who's maybe drunk or just a little bit, you know, active, and go, I need that person out in the middle of the floor because they're the queen bee of the entertainment, right?
Yeah.
Oh, is that what you do?
Yeah, you look for the energetic people that group or that person that just like lights up the room. You play music for them, the whole room follows. Yeah. Mm.
So that's the science. I'm not kidding. Is that what you learned from the YouTube also, or was it just the how-to from the music perspective?
That came years later.
Okay.
That's experience. And that was like when I started looking at DJing as a performance and not just going out to party. But when I first started, I was just trying to learn all the technical skills.
Sure.
You know, like the mixing techniques and how to blend things right, when to stop a song, you know, don't let it play too long, stuff like that. That's what YouTube did for me.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wow, so it's way different, obviously, than the old days when they really were mixing records, right? Scratching them and things like that. But now they're turntables, but you're really using digital music. But is the feel the same? Because I see it looks like the equipment's the same to get the same techniques.
Yeah.
Right? Is that what's happening?
It is.
There?
So what I use. It's called control vinyl. So that the vinyl sends a signal to your computer based on your wiring, and then you can control the songs from your computer as if they were actual records.
Okay.
So you do the same thing. It works the same way, but you have a little bit more capabilities. It's almost supercharged.
That's pretty
wild. Where are other places? I know we talked about you were at the Brillo Box. Mm-hmm. Where else? Where else can we find?
Yeah, I DJ at Umami, the Japanese restaurant, every other Friday. Trace Brewing.
Yep.
And you can catch me at Thunderbird sometimes, too.
And you just told us about an event in September that we're going to have to check out. Tracy, if you're listening, we need to know about this event September 18th, right?
September 18th at Trace. We're doing our Slappers and Bangers. That's hip hop, R&B, and trap music. 8th anniversary block party. And so we've been doing that party for 8 years, and it's like, it's been so much fun, and people come through and love it. And so yeah, we're excited to do it again.
Are you still graphic designing, or did you kind of drop it completely?
I do it for myself.
Asking for a friend.
Oh, yeah. I do it for myself. Like, I design my own, like, flyers, and my logo I designed and stuff like that. And
okay.
So, yeah, so not so much for hire, but more for, like, as a means to get the word out about what I'm working on.
So that means we can ask you to do something for free? Totally kidding.
That was why I started DJing.
I'm totally kidding.
What is the DJ community like here in Pittsburgh? We always talk to comedians about the, you know, they go to open mics, they all hang out, musicians do similar things. What's the DJ community like? Everybody gets along?
Yeah.
Yeah, and kind of supports each other.
You know, you don't get along with everybody, but it's like a co-working situation.
Yeah.
You're at work with somebody and... A lot of people, you know, I have a lot of really good colleagues that I love to see. And when I have a night off, I go and make sure I see them DJ. And it's basically awesome. Like that. You know, at any one of my parties, you can see other DJs come through and show love. And I do the same thing for them. And then there's a competitive aspect to the community. We have like a couple battles, Crash the Decks, which is a you pair a DJ and a drummer, and they compete against other DJ and drummer duos.
Oh, wow.
And, yeah, and it's a competition, and they crown a winner. It's such a cool competition. And you have Battle Gories. There was a Heineken battle. Red Bull used to be here a couple years, like early 2010s. So it's very communal, but it's also pretty competitive.
I love it.
And there are techniques you learn from each other? Like, are you kind of almost... copyright, I guess, is the wrong word.
Look, I stole a song from my friend last night. So
that was so funny.
I told him, I said, that's a great song. You don't have to send that to me. So, yeah.
That's so great.
Some DJs don't like sharing music, but I don't mind sharing. If you hear a song that you like off of me, you know, I'll share it.
Yeah.
Because we all play music differently. Like, I'll present it to you differently than another DJ would.
Sure.
You know?
Okay.
So, yeah.
Yeah,
awesome. Man. Where can everybody find you and follow you before we ask you our question of the day?
Yeah, you can find me on Instagram and Facebook. It's facebook.com/TheAriecole, The Ari Cole. And then on Instagram, it's @TheAriecole, but TheAriecole.
Don't you love the underscore?
Yeah.
Don't you love
Someone had my name, so I had to do it that way.
How about that?
Yeah.
See, that's where we're lucky. Nobody else is your Jagoff.
Yeah, right.
Question of the day. Here we are at Chalkfest. Have you been here before?
Not before, but I got to take a look this morning.
Pretty cool, right? I love the way it's all set up. When you are drawing, because listen, I have to go back. I'm a stick figure kind of person. What do you start with when you draw the stick figure?
That's a good question.
Thanks.
Oh,
right?
That's a good question.
You know, I'll start with the head.
Okay, me too.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm a circle person.
Yeah. All right. Yeah, you do the circle and then you map out like where the head is going to go or what direction it's going to face.
Oh, Ari, mine's literally a circle and then a line and then a line on a line. That's where I was going, bro. Hey,
As long as you get there.
That's right. Ari Cole, thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks
on your Jagoff. Yeah,
yeah,
we appreciate you.
We have to go set up right now, right?
Yeah.
So we appreciate you hanging out
Thanks
with us.
Thanks for having
dude.
Me.
Yeah, appreciate it. Thank you so much.
Oh, yeah, thank you so much. Take care. I go way back, believe it or not. You know, I love whenever I can chat with somebody who I know. I look up their bio info on websites and Facebook and LinkedIn and all that good stuff. And I kept saying, why does Matt Galuzzo sound so familiar? Well, the reason is when I worked at Markowitz Communications in 2015, 2016, there was a thing called the cookie tour in Lawrenceville that people didn't know a lot about, right? Back then. Now it's like the thing you do. You add it to your holiday list of things to do and conquer. Matt was one of the folks who was Were you the originator, Matt, or were you there to kind of like push it through?
Yeah, we were the steward of the
event. I love steward. Great word.
Yeah, and it's, you know, it's one of those signature neighborhood events.
Yes.
That you know, it really kicks off the holiday season.
Yeah. So what a small world. 6 degrees of Jagoff. Yeah. Matt is here. So now, Matt, you are representing River Life. How long have you been with River Life and what do you do there?
Well, first of all, great to be with you.
Thank you.
Yeah. So I am the president and CEO with River Life.
That.
We are an organization that works to create, activate, and celebrate Pittsburgh's riverfronts for visitors to our region, for residents. And today is a great day to really show our mission in action.
Yeah, it definitely is.
It's right next to, it's Isabella Street and your offices are right behind us. And you guys don't really have a view of the river from your offices, right? But you impact. So talk about what we're trying to do with River Life. Like, everybody knows that we can rent kayaks and go boating and things like that. But there's a whole lot more. There's cleaning up of the shores, everything, right?
Yeah, so we're a 24-year-old organization. We'll be 25 next year. We have invested over $150 million in our riverfronts to create the signature moments. So the Point State Park fountain restoration, South Shore Riverfront Park. And, you know, we partner on projects throughout the riverfront. And one of the things in coming up from Lawrenceville that, you know, one of the reasons I was brought in is that we need to sort of create a complete system. And so we're working on what we call completing the loop, which is a series of capital projects to fill in the gaps. But there's also gaps in experience. And so today, you know, Chalkfest is really an example of how do we make sure that our riverfronts are activated and that we're doing things that are both relevant, right, bringing people to the riverfronts, but also unexpected. And that's what today is about. So you can sort of wander and see different things that you can't find anywhere else in the region.
Yeah. We talk about that a lot. We joke about how Pittsburghers, you know, we say the word used to be. Like it's used to be, but we're used to be.
Yeah.
And so Pittsburgh used to be a coal town. No one would have ever believed that we would become this foodie town, this town known for, you know, our richness in healthcare and education. And now the fact that we can even say our rivers. People are wanting to go to the rivers and they're wanting to the river and see, you know, what's happening. Like John said, yeah, it's great that there's kayaking, but there's life and there's community support. Talk about how that has sort of evolved over the last couple of years and how River Life is a part of that community aspect.
Yeah, so I'll mention, you know, we're a 25-year organization.
Yeah. And who knew that? Like, I did not realize. You guys have done such a good job of moving it forward in the most recent years.
But the idea that the riverfronts can be a front door, the town square, right?
Mm-hmm.
Is a relatively new concept, right?
Sure.
Rivers were things that you avoided. They were the back end,
right,
of the region. And so it's relatively recent that we've pivoted and said, no, these are shared spaces. We all should enjoy these spaces. And so, you know, that's really been our message over time. But it really started with a boat tour in 1999. And the great David McCullough, for which the 16th Street Bridge is named, recently passed away. You know, really challenged community leaders, the philanthropic community, the business community to make this a place where you want to bring the people you love. And that really served as our flashpoint for, okay, that's our vision. And so we developed an original vision around sort of that shared responsibility. And my job is really to deliver on the promise of that. And so
that's
our team. You know, we have a fantastic team. We have great partners like Revive Marketing who can help us do an event like this. And for us, it is really about doing more and better for our riverfronts.
That's Matt, I apologize that I don't know the answer to this question.
Sure.
Are you originally from Pittsburgh?
I'm not.
It's okay. We accept
them,
John.
I love the fact, but, you know, I'm so in awe of how you're so ingrained in the community. You did the cookie tour, as Rachel explained, to get in. Now you do this. Like, you genuinely love this place and want to see it go forward. So how did that enchantment come along for you?
So my wife is originally from Pittsburgh, and we traveled
around. You needed some kind of connection, Matt.
you know, we traveled around the Midwest, lived in Cincinnati, lived in Louisville, Kentucky, Dayton, Ohio. And when it was time to really sort of settle down, we decided on Pittsburgh. I had the fortunate happenstance of going to graduate school at the University of Pittsburgh.
Okay.
And we had a field placement in a river town, Hazelwood,
neighborhood,
which was my first taste of community work. And really, to say I've dedicated my entire career to Pittsburgh and its neighborhoods is totally true. I've worked in Hazelwood, I've worked in the East End and Garfield Friendship, and most recently for about a decade in Lawrenceville. And while I was in Lawrenceville, we worked really hand in glove with River Life on planning for the riverfronts. And when this opportunity became available, you know, my argument was there is a vacuum without an organization that serves as the steward of that vision.
Right.
And so coming over here was a
no-brainer.
It really was.
Yeah.
It
really
was. Yeah.
And I, you know, kudos to you, because I think what John's trying to say too is a lot of times when we interview people who are from Pittsburgh, it's assumed. I'm from here. This is how I want to kind of carry on. So to see someone who wasn't originally from here, but made not just a home here, but an impact is really, you know, it's appreciated from people like us.
Yeah. And I'll jump on what she's saying, because Jeremy from the from
PDP. Over, yeah.
Jeremy, yeah.
It's the same thing. You know, yeah. We hear how he came here thinking this was going to be a stop along the way, yeah. And then just totally loved the place.
Yeah.
And we who have never moved away from here are find that fascinating.
Oh, yeah.
You know, yeah.
Well, I'll say this. Pittsburgh has been very, very good to me, very good to my family. And, you know, it has been a place. It's a place where you can access, right? You can't.
Right.
Like, I was able to grab a couple rings along the way and be supported by a community that, wanted my talents, whatever. But that part of it, I think Pittsburgh is accessible. And if you want to do good work, if you want to work in the nonprofit sector, it is a place where you can do that. And for me, it, I think, has sort of, paid dividends for sure.
Yeah. Going forward, what's the biggest challenge right now? I mean, I'm sure money is one thing, but what's the biggest challenge as far as river life at this point?
You know, money is really not the issue. It is really meeting the moment. And right now,
good point.
I think, coming out of COVID and some of the economic restructuring that we're experiencing as a city, we need to be ready for that. These are big jobs, and we need to be ready for things like federal infrastructure dollars that are coming down. We need to be able to absorb those resources and tell a compelling story for how those can be deployed.
Okay.
And for us, that means, bringing resources internally, but also partnering with, the PennDOTs of the world and the Alcosans to really make sure that as big infrastructure investments are being made, that those the benefits of those investments are accruing to the public, mm-hmm. which is, I think, a once in a multi-generation opportunity.
Yeah. Wow.
Wow, that was so well said. I mean, I have to say, you had no idea what we were going to ask you, and you are just so prepared, and we appreciate that, because that's true. It's a good example of what you want to do and what you want to be.
Well, and I'll tell you, and I've said this before, that the benefits of our work really, you can see it. People are impacted, mm-hmm. We went to Chalk Fest last year. What a great time. And that is part of our work. But it's also that we have the opportunity to make sure that future generations, our kids, our grandkids, benefit from our work. And that, for me, is what gets us up in the morning.
You know, we interviewed, it's probably a year now, over right in the little park right there where some of the tents are set up, Gavin.
Yeah.
And it was intriguing then to hear how he loved working here because it was so important. And it was, like you said, it becomes part of what the city is, especially, let's face it, it's spring, summer. People want to be outside, and you're making that possible. You're sort of educating them without them realizing it.
Yeah.
And that's the cool part.
And I'll give a shout out to Modular International, which, disclosure, is one of our social media companies, but their lighting is right back here behind us. If you're listening to the podcast, you won't see it, but the park on Isabella Street, the Modular installed some lighting to kind of brighten up the place over here.
It was awesome.
And it's those little moments that can signal, this is a cared for place, and to have partners who come forward and say, hey, we can do this on to play our part is, that's a Pittsburgh story.
Yeah.
True. Matt, where can everybody find out more information about River Life, what's happening, how they can support it, what to expect?
So the riverlifepgh.org is our website. We encourage folks to explore the riverfronts, contact us, sign up for our newsletter.
I was just going to say, your newsletter is fantastic.
It's a great source to hear about, things that are happening. We do an annual fundraiser at called Party at the Pier in August, which, please come. It's an amazing event. Unlike no programs, no speakers, it's just a good party on the riverfront, but really sort of letting us know what they want to see. So we're actually doing some active engagement here about the future of Allegheny Landing. All of that input is really going to drive and co-create some of the moves we're going to make in the coming years. So
before you ask the question of the day,
I feel like my question is so silly.
Are we better than Cincinnati and Philadelphia as far as river life?
Ooh.
Because we don't like them because of football.
Sure.
All right, Cincinnati and Philadelphia. Gotta be better.
Yeah. I mean, we have the most amazing view of our cities from our riverfronts. there are things we can learn from other cities for sure, but this is a really special place.
Well done.
Well said. I love it. Very diplomatic. This is a very silly, we have to common thread, right? All the serious stuff is over. So the question of the day, as you're looking around at all these amazing roped off areas for Chalk Fest, we're so excited to bring families here to kind of experience, what our city's about. When you are drawing a stick figure, Matt, what do you draw first?
Oh, good Lord.
I warned you.
I love this question.
It's definitely a head.
Okay.
Me too. I said that, the circle. I literally said that because when we had Aria, he was like, I think it's the head. And I was like, yes, it's the circle. Yeah. Yes, Monica.
That is so funny.
Monica.
Well, thank you so much for joining us. We appreciate all that you do. We appreciate that Pittsburgh was able to trap you and keep you here. And
thank you for what you do.
You're clearly doing a great job, and we appreciate it.
Thank you for coming out and sharing our story. We really appreciate it.
Thank you. Have a great week.
Nice. Have a great weekend.
Oh, my gosh. Thank you so much.
So you're going to hear some more music from Ari Cole. I just want to dance. Don't nobody dance. I'm dancing by myself in the middle of the dance floor. I'ma take a chance.
We had a couple minutes and we thought we would chat with the Pop District folks at the Warhol Academy. So welcome, welcome. How are you?
Doing well. How are y'all doing?
Oh, Ryan, booming voice. All right. You're like, I got this.
We recognize you.
Hold my beer.
Sparkling
water. We recognized you because we had a tour of the Pop District a couple months ago with our friend Byron Nash and got to see what the Academy piece was all about. The space that you have up there is amazing.
Thank you. Yeah. So I'm Ryan Haggerty. I'm the program director up at the Warhol Academy in the Pop District. And as you were mentioning, it is a new space up here on the 7th floor in the building right next to the museum here along Isabella. And this is Chalk Fest today going on, as you all already know from the podcast. But we're just happy to have nice weather and all these folks come out to see us.
Talk about what the Pop District is. We toured it, and it's a co-working space. It's a place you can rent for events. It has a wonderful view, and the amenities are super cool, even high tech as far as that. So talk about that. We're high tech now.
All right.
Well, I think we saw a room with a green screen in it.
Production studio for sure. So really, when you think about Pop District, think about it as placemaking. So you have the Warhol Museum that's been here for a while, and they've done some great work with their art, their education, and all that. And really, we're just bringing more culture to the North Shore and the North Side. So you have the Pop District HQ up on our 7th floor that you all toured. You also have the Print Lounge, which is across the street on Eastern or Robinson. And then you'll notice our alleyway, which has that lovely rainbow mural and the silver spray paint. Is the Silver Street. So we have all these spaces now that are being activated for people to do more things over here. And space is back since we're like post-pandemic, right?
Yeah.
So a lot of that. And then you mentioned workforce too. So we are running programming where the museum's always done K-12. We're really kind of that post piece where people are trying to figure out how to do a business, how to get a job, and doing things in creative fields, doing things in digital marketing. So we're really just trying to plug people in, not just to learn a thing, but also to be a part of this network.
We love it.
Because Pittsburgh is not real big, and people are pretty open about talking to one another, and we're trying to offer this network for people to do what they want to do.
That's super cool. What was the impetus behind Pop?
A lot of it was really just thinking about visitors come to the Warhol Museum, but a lot of visitors are coming from out of town. There's less locals that really go, and everybody comes up to you with a guilty conscience. I don't know if it's all these Northern Catholics or what it is, but I think we just want to give people that live here more things to do and benefit from being all, you see the development happening along the North Shore. We're one part of that, but we want to be able to have that local connection for people to feel like this is something for them and that they can benefit from and contribute to.
I love the fact that you state that it's, a K-12 plus, because that's so important to encompass everybody here. So where can everybody find out more information?
Absolutely. You can go on the popdistrict.org. We also have a really nice link tree that I like to use a lot because I can get right to what I want to find.
Yes,
that has saved my life. But yeah, check us out on popdistrict.org. We're also on LinkedIn. You can find us on the Instagram. You might see Matt Thornton, our director of marketing, running around with a drone here today. Mm-hmm. So stop by and say hello.
We love it. Thanks for joining us.
Yeah, appreciate y'all.
Nice.
All right.
Am I passing the hot mic?
Yes, yeah, you are. It's the hot mic.
There was one over there.
He has his own.
Yeah,
yeah.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Our pleasure. How can I stress when I'm too blessed? Can you keep up with my moves? Says she in love with my shoe.
Fresh. Tell me what you trying to do next. Let's make a move for some food. Coming in for music, we have the Chalk and Dad.
Bum, bum, bum.
Hey, how's everybody doing today?
Your first time actually on the podcast, I think, because we've had you on some videos in the past, but this is like the real reveal of the Chalk and Dad.
I'm super excited to be here and super excited to be on the podcast. Thank you for having me.
We love your story. You are the epitome of Pittsburgh. I'm not just saying that. It's the whole, what do you kind of moonlight as, right? But in your case, it really gives back to the community. So you're in, you have a real job, as we say, real, right?
Right.
And you go to work every day, you come home, and this is what you do. You want to sort of share your talent of chalking with everyone. Is that sort of the easiest way to say it?
No, that's absolutely correct. So that's really how it began, was sort of as a stress reliever after my real day job. I work for Giant Eagle. I do financial planning and budgeting, and I don't know, about 10 years ago, 12 years ago, after work, it became an exciting thing to come home and do with the kids. My daughter, when she was little, who's actually, she's here today, she's 20 years old, she's actually chalking and doing her own piece.
Yeah.
When she was little, wanted princesses and things in the driveway, and it was a nice stress relief, and one thing led to another, and here we are 15 years later, and we've got 20, 25 artists in from all around the country creating some absolutely amazing chalk art today at the festival.
Let's describe what Eric looks like right now on our, for those
I
that
mean,
are missing,
right, I was going to say,
hands are
our
totally
microphones
black
will
from
tell
chalking
you.
and his knees are dirty, but we watched you crawl around on the ground. I'm sure you do none of that at Giant Eagle as far as just crawling around on the ground.
It's Excel spreadsheets all week long. It's a lot more tactile.
Were you an artist as a kid, or right. you just practiced because of the peer pressure of your daughter?
It was absolutely, it was peer pressure of I think she was four. She was four, and her little sister was one at the time, and it was peer pressure. Now, I tell people the last art class I took was my freshman year of high school. I drew as a kid. I had my own little characters, and then got away from it. And, you know, 10, 15 years later, got back into it, started with the requests in the driveway, and now it's something that, you know, we're able to bring to Pittsburgh, and it's a hobby slash side gig that's taken me all around the world, actually, now to do chalk art.
What kind of requests have you gotten that have been like, wow? Like, it starts as, hey, I'm drawing a princess because my daughter wants it, right? And then it becomes people saying, I want these grandiose things. Yeah. Is that the case?
I mean, yeah. I mean, it started with some pretty crude, rudimentary Cinderella and Snow White. And last year I did a project for Red Bull in Boston for their cliff diving championship. So it's gone from there. I did that. I got to go to the Australia Zoo last year and chalk Steve Irwin for Steve Irwin Day. So it started all in my driveway in North Huntington, and now it's taking me around the world.
How many of there are you at your level? I realize there are different levels. We could say thousands, but at your level, how many? Yeah. I'm sure there has to be a pretty good network, tight network of people.
Yeah, I would say it's hard to give like a full census of how many people, but you know, across the country, there's probably a pool of several hundred.
Okay.
Kind of semi-professional chalk artists to do this kind of thing on the weekend. And then there's thousands, if not millions, of amateurs and, you know, kids in their driveway who wind up growing into adults who like to play with chalk.
Or John who makes hopscotch.
There
well,
you go.
Well, I love the fact, this is how I look at it. At 47 and looking at my own children, I think we've gotten away from that art of just connecting mm-hmm. with kids in that way, right? And because there's so many unique things in our cities now that we can take our children to. The fact that it started so simplistically with you in your driveway with your kids and has become this, I mean, look at this community feel that it's brought. It sort of takes you back, right?
Right. Absolutely. I mean, it's the thing I hear at Chalk Festival all the time. I hear people say, I can't even draw a stick figure.
Right?
And I want to show them pictures from 15 or 20 years ago. I'm like, you can learn to do this. It's all about the amount of effort. And
well, I was going to say, have you noticed yourself getting better
I mean, you know, it's matured to the point now where I can do large 3D pieces like Franco Harris or the Campbell soup can that we have here today. You know, it's just lots and lots of practice over the years.
Well,
and
that's
also watching and learning from some of these artists here today are absolutely incredible, and they do amazing work, and they have amazing clients. We've got one artist here who every year chalks the amazing 3D pieces at the Festival of the Arts at Epcot. So we're lucky to have Nate Baranowski. We have other artists. Joel Yao's in from San Francisco. He's traveled the world. He's done festivals like this in France and across Spain and Italy before. So it's we've got an amazing group of artists here.
We talked earlier in the podcast to Ari Cole, the DJ. How do the DJs get together and network and sort of co-write or plan out like a little copywritten patented move or something like that? Do you guys do that as well? Do you share techniques?
We share techniques. We share insights on jobs or festivals like this that, you know, kind of once you get in the circuit, you wind up getting invited to other events and things. So it's very, very much networking and being around
what's
other
behind
artists.
The scenes of the chalking people. When you get your artwork done, do you stand back and look at it? Do you all go have a beer somewhere?
I was going to say beer. Yeah. Beer is behind the scenes of late nights and lots of
and yoga or stretching, I'd have to think, because I'm literally
Advil,
watching you
Advil,
all
lots of Advil,
Wow, it is so impressive, and I appreciate from a parent perspective what you've brought, you know, just to Pittsburgh. We claim Pittsburghers like crazy, so now we're like, oh, Chalking Dad, he's ours.
That's right.
Sorry
That's
for
right.
you.
No, it's been great to, you know, this is our second year with the festival, and it's fantastic because I, you know, I travel around the country doing these things, and no matter where I am, there's always a Pittsburgh connection, or if I have a name placard that says I'm from Pittsburgh, I start talking to people, especially in Florida when I'm down there. Oh, I used to live in Pittsburgh.
So
it's great to be able to do this in Pittsburgh and bring the art to art to the Steel City.
And Eric, is there a request that you've gotten that you've said, I just can't do it? Like, I started to ask that. Like, is there, I feel like you're the guy that's like, I'll accept that and let me kind of do my best to make that happen. But
I don't know. I try to fulfill things. I can't say that there's anything. I try to steer clear of super political stuff.
Sometimes
Chalking Dad's apolitical, but
So we shouldn't ask you about who you voted for or when you were in church last.
Right, exactly. Right. So, no, I mean, projects really run the gamut. So it's fantastic.
It's your perception, right?
Yep.
I love this.
Yeah, it's so, I mean, again, as Rachel said, it's just cool that you go around representing Pittsburghers, and super cool that this happens
Were
you part of bringing some of these people here? You know, did Eileen and Jack sort of say, oh, do you know so-and-so? Do you know the top five?
Yeah, that kind of fell on me to find the artist and bring them. And a lot of these, I think we have most of our artists are returning from last year, and we have a few new artists. Okay. This year, we're also lucky. We've got a couple of other local artists. We have Alina Molinaro, who grew up in the North Hills, and we have Patrick McDonough from Monroeville. So we've got some more local artists participating this year as well, which is fantastic.
Nice.
Thank you so much for your time. Where can everybody find you and follow you for more?
Sure. So you can find me on all social media at The Chalking Dad, or you can find my website, www.thechalkingdad.com.
Okay, I'm embarrassed for our question of the day to ask you, but you know, we always do a question of the day that sort of, you know, weaves a theme into everybody who we've interviewed. And John looked at me because
you
said
referenced
something.
It. Yeah.
Okay.
I am a horrible artist. And you'll say, everybody's an artist. I'm a horrible artist. I'm creative, but I'm not an artist. When you're drawing a stick figure, what do you start with first?
The head.
It's unanimous.
It's hands down,
Wow.
I would have to say, what about you?
No, I said that, I thought maybe someone would say sort of the middle to kind of give it balance, but okay.
It'd be a great question. My daughter's left-handed and does everything in a different way, so I'll have to ask her. I'll have her draw one later.
Okay, there you go.
See if she starts.
And Monica, you noticed that I got a great question from the Chalking Dad. John did not. Eric, thank you so much for your time.
Thanks, guys.
We appreciate
it. Good luck today.
Yeah, thanks.
Yep. As we end this, reminding you that get down to Chalkfest today on the North Shore. I'm sure that things will still be around tonight or tomorrow if you want to come down, but today's when you can get food and drinks and meet all of the artists. So we appreciate everybody that was
and
on the podcast.
And a huge shout out to Jack and Eileen from Revive Marketing. Mm-hmm. Honestly, as I'm sitting here listening to the different guests, I think about, they are so innovative and they really have their finger on the pulse of what Pittsburgh exemplifies. I mean, they're behind Pierogi Fest. We know that that's on hold for this year because of other situations, but basically, who would have thought to celebrate our staple food than pierogies and chalking? I mean, it's such a rare art form, and the fact that we can embrace that, kudos to them for recognizing these kinds of things.
Yeah. So thanks to Matt from River Life. Thanks to Eric, and thanks to Ari Cole, and thanks to Ryan from the Pop District for being on the podcast. Thanks to Monica and Tracy for always making us look good or sound good at this point.
We sound tall
and
thin.
And thanks to Rorik Honda I just had it here. Get the best experience of customer service and maintenance of your Rorik Advantage at the Service Center on West Liberty Avenue. Visit RorikHonda.com for all of your vehicle needs and check out their blog posts, which usually are about driving or parking in Pittsburgh. And also, before you dig into your chalk,
did you know Pennsylvania law requires you to call what three numbers? 811. At least 3 business days before that you dig. That's not just for contractors and big projects.
Even homeowners working on simple projects like a new mailbox or expanding your garden need to call 811 before they dig. It's simple, it's free for you as a homeowner or a renter.
And it's the law.
Right. peoples-gas.com. Thanks everybody for tuning into the podcast.
myself in the middle of the dance floor. I'ma take a chance, grab her by the hand. Now the party lit, everybody on the dance floor. I just wanna dance, don't nobody dance. I'm dancing by myself in the middle of the dance floor. I'ma take a chance, grab her by the hand. Now the party lit, everybody on the dance floor. I'm in the spot, looking for talent. They go a fly, open your eyes, look who arrived. I be the liveest, sipping on liquid, no mix. Feeling like Michael and Prince, feeling like Diddy and French. Looking like Benjamin Mint, looking like dollars don't fold. So they be dialing my phone, screaming to God when I bone. Says she don't like giving dome. How you don't swallow, you grown. I think that it's time that I go. Too many options I know. Women be flying in droves, top of the globe. Watch how I glow, unstoppable again like Pac in the zone. Half of my niggas been locked in parole. The duck in them cops and them Paulas with strobes. How you suppose I should unload my stress and my woes? Hop on my toes, shaking my shoulders, letting it go. I just wanna dance, don't nobody dance. I'm dancing by myself in the middle of the dance floor. I'ma take a chance, grab her by the hand. Now the party lit, everybody on the dance floor. I just wanna dance, don't nobody dance. I'm dancing by myself in the middle of the dance floor. I'ma take a chance, grab her by the hand. Now the party lit, everybody on the dance floor. Trying to do next, let's make a move for some food. Bet. Then let's go straight to your dude. Flex. Soon as you give me the cue, yes, I'ma go dive in your pool. West. Life for the party, death to the lames. Hyping it up when my record is playing. Life is too short to be stressed and ashamed. Step on the floor and deflect all your pain. Baby, come shake it, you blessed with the frame. Flex on your ex, he'll be texting you names. Send me a message, we'll definitely hang. Shot for the win, exit the game. I just wanna dance, don't nobody dance. I'm dancing by myself in the middle.